Well, welcome to another session of our study through the book of Esther. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for following along. And today we're going to jump back into chapter 2. And so I hope you've watched the other ones, because we're just going to jump right in. But just as a kind of reminder of where we are in chapter 2, at the beginning of chapter 2, we saw how the king, King Ahasuerus, had this idea, actually, because his servant recommended this, that they have this bachelor in Persia kind of contest, beauty contest, essentially, where they bring in all the young women from Persia across the whole kingdom, where they bring them in and see which one can please the king, and that would become who the queen is. And then right after that, then we're introduced to Mordecai and Esther for the first time. And we're told that they're Jewish, and that Esther is beautiful to look at. And so that, of course, was foreshadowing that she was going to get caught up in this, because they're looking for beautiful women. And so Esther, the Bible says, was taken. She did not volunteer for this. She was taken to be a part of it, and was kind of swept up in it. And so what I want us to see today is what's going on here during this contest, for lack of a better word. One of the things to notice at the beginning of chapter 2, in verse number 3, it says that for these women under Haggai, the king's eunuch, who is in charge of the women, he was told to let their cosmetics be given them. So he wanted them to make sure they had everything they needed to look beautiful. And then jump over to verse number 9. It says that the young woman Esther pleased him, Haggai, and won his favor. And he quickly provided her with her cosmetics and her portion of food, and with 7 chosen young women from the king's palace, and advanced her and the young women to the place, to the best place in the harem. And then we read verse 10 about Esther not making it known her people or her kindred, because Mordecai had commanded her not to. And every day Mordecai walked in front of the court of the harem to learn how Esther was and what was happening to her. Now, look at verse 12. It says, now when the turn came for each young woman to go into King Ahasuerus, after being 12 months under the regulations for the women, since this was the regular period of their beautifying, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with spices and ointments for women. So now notice, we're told that the king said, let them have their cosmetics. He wanted them to be beautiful and made up for him. We see that when Esther was winning favor with Haggai, that he made sure that she had her cosmetics, and he made sure that she had her portion of food. Now, it's interesting here that in that culture, she would have eaten well. That was part of their beauty, was to eat well. Whereas we think about in our culture today, I'm not saying I agree with this at all, but I think we would agree that in our culture today, you know, models and things like that, that they try to say this is what beauty is. They're very skinny, very petite. But back then, man, they wanted to make sure you had your portion of food. They wanted to make sure that you ate. So it's just different. It's different cultures, and we can see the differences there. But one of the things that we see here is there was a 12-month beautifying process. They had to have their oil of myrrh for 6 months, and then they had to have spices and ointments for 6 months before they could go in. And that's on top of the cosmetics and eating well and things like that. So what we see is that King Ahasuerus is wrapped up in what these women look like. Notice there is no character discussion. There is no seeing how faithful she would be. There is no talking about convictions. There's no dating. There's no getting to know the personality of this person, because notice what it says in verse 13. It says, when the young women went into the king in this way, all made up, she was giving whatever she desired to take with her from the harem to the king's palace. And in the evening she would go in, and in the morning she would return to the second harem in custody of Shashgaz, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the concubines. And she would not go into the king again unless the king delighted in her and she was summoned by name. And so notice that all the king is wrapped up in is her beauty, a very subjective beauty, but it was what he wanted, and that's all he cared about. And then they would go in and sleep with him, and then he would say, I'm done with you, send me the next one. And then they would go to this other harem. So I want us to think about this, because I have a daughter, and I think about this idea of them being swept up in this and then taken away for 12 months. They have to go through this beautifying process and be made up and cosmetics and things like that. Then they go into with the king one night, and if he says, nah, don't want you, don't ever want to see you again, then they would go into this second harem where they would live the rest of their life. I mean, they wouldn't be returned to home. I mean, you just think about how objectifying this is. It's crazy to think about it. And we look at that and we say, that's ludicrous that someone would act like that. But we can see what a king who simply just cares about his own desires, his own lust. He doesn't care anything about those people, about those women, anything like that. It's just all about him. And he just had this over and over again until he was going to find the one that he desired, the one that pleased him the most. And so when we look at this, what I want us to think about is what our identity is and how we base beauty and the things that maybe we put value in. Because we would look at this and say that that's crazy, that's objectifying, that's wrong. But how many times do we put our identity in the way we look, how we dress, how we're made up, and things like that? Like, sometimes I think we can be just as guilty as Ahasuerus here, because we can either wrap our identity up, who we are, in the way we look, whether it's our weight, our size, our makeup, our hair, how we dress, the vehicles we drive, the house we have. Like, there's a lot of things that are external that are not necessarily us, but external to us, like our, you know, our car, our neighborhood that we live in, where your kids go to school, like all those things we wrap up into our identity, and because we want to impress other people or we want to look like we have it all together. And so we can end up being just like these women who have to be beautified so that Ahasuerus will maybe possibly accept them. And one night he can say, nope, not interested. Next, bring me the next one. And so I wanted us just to think about today, what are we wrapping up our identity on? Are we trying to, you know, use cosmetics and spices and ointment? We're not doing that. Maybe we're using perfume and makeup and things like that. But are there things that we're wrapping up our identity in and we're saying, if I can just do this, then I would impress somebody? Or if I just do this, then maybe I can get a mate. Somebody that I can date, you know, but I've got to do these things. It's not about who I am, and it's not about who God says I am. It's I've got to get this thing, or I've got to look this particular way in order to impress someone, and that's what's going to make me acceptable. And so what I want to just us to think about today is if that's you, and I think if we're honest, there's probably something in our life, men and women, that we have placed on that pedestal and said, if I can just reach that, then maybe I would be acceptable to that group of people or that person. If I can just do this, then those people will accept me. And I think we can do that. Men and women can do that. But what I want us to think about today is that even reaching that point, it will never be enough. It'll never be enough. Because if we can just do this and that person will accept me, then guess what? There's still going to be a group of people who won't accept you. And even if you think that if you do that and it gets you that person's approval or whatever, and then it doesn't, then what are you left with? Now you've done all this and put all your hope in that, and then it still didn't get you their friendship. It still didn't work. Or maybe there's this idea of, if I can just look like this, if I can just fit into this, if I can just get to this weight. But guess what? The problem is when you reach that point, you still won't be happy. You still won't be happy, because you'll never get to that point. It'll never be enough. Or maybe it's there's a job, or there's an income, or there's a neighborhood, or there's a vehicle, a truck. If I can just get this truck, or if I can just get that boat, or if I can just I don't know what it is. If I can just get that job or I can just get that promotion, then that's what will make me successful. That's when I'll feel like I've reached it. The problem is it'll never be enough. It'll never be enough. Because anything that we try to wrap our identity in and say, well, this is what makes me successful. This is what makes me good. This is what makes me rich. This is what makes me popular. Any of those things that we put our hope in, guess what? There's always going to be more that needs to be done. It's always going to fall short. And so what I want us to consider today is both the side of, both sides of this argument. Firstly, are we being like these women and we're selling ourselves short who we are and certainly who God says we are to try to impress other people who could just say, nah, I'm done with you. Go on. Next. Give me somebody else because I'm not interested in that. Like, think about all that these women, everything. I mean, they were virgins who then spent one night with the king and he just discarded them. Everything in who they were as a woman was just there for his pleasure. And then he was like, no, not interested anymore. And what I want us to consider is, are we selling out who we are to try to impress other people? And what I want to say is, it's never going to be enough. You're never going to please everybody. And so what we need to do is we need to seek to be pleasing to God. We need to understand who God says we are, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. He made us the way that he wanted us to be made. And we are so important to him that Jesus died for us. Like, that truth, the truth of that negates everybody else's approval. If we have God's approval, then it doesn't matter that we have anyone else's approval. Now, that doesn't mean we can be jerks to people. But because we understand that God loves us, then our identity is based on that. And so we see ourselves based on being forgiven and being a child of God and being someone that Jesus died for and then being someone who's supposed to share that love with others. Like, that's the thing that our hope and our life and our identity is supposed to be wrapped in. So if we base everything on that, then if that person doesn't like us or that person doesn't accept us or we don't reach this level or we don't be able to get that thing, whatever it is, then it's okay because I'm still a child of God and he still loves me. And so I want us to think about, are we like those women trying to impress the king? And we need to recognize it's never going to be enough. It'll never be enough. We need to know who we are in Christ. That's why Paul says you are in Christ. These are all the things you are. And that's what we need to base our identity on. But then on the flip side of that, I want us to think about the times where maybe we're King Ahasuerus and we're judging others based on outward appearances. Maybe there's people that you won't accept because they're not in your circle. They're different from you. They don't have that level of success from you. They didn't grow up the same way you did. They're not from around here. I don't know what it could be, but are there things, maybe there's people that in relationships, you know, you based it solely on the external and not the internal, who they really are, their character, their heart. Are they a believer or not? And that's what happens so often, especially for young people, is they get so wrapped up in the external and they know that that person's not a believer, and yet they fall in love with them and they think the whole time, I can change them. I can change them. And they're just wrapped up, and then the relationship can go south, but all the while they're still holding on hope that they can change them. And so I want us to consider the times that we judge others on the external. And again, not just on their looks, that's part of it, but also on who they are, where they live, where they came from, things like that. And so we need to instead approach this as, I know who I am in Christ, but then we also need to approach others as, how would Jesus approach them? Because here's the thing, Jesus didn't expect us to clean ourselves up. He didn't make us go through having cosmetics and eating a bunch of food and going through a 12-month beautifying process before we could even go into him. See, that's what the king made them do. But instead, the Bible says that Jesus humbled himself and he came to us. It didn't take somebody going out and bringing the people to Jesus. No, the Bible says Jesus took on flesh and he came down to us. He became one of us and walked among us, is what John says. I love the translation that says that Jesus came to the neighborhood. He came to our neighborhood. And so Jesus came and died to save us so that he could make us beautiful. Not so that we had to make ourselves beautiful for him, but so that the Bible says so that he would make us pure and blameless. He came to set us free so that we could follow him. He didn't dictate what we had to do. No, instead he said, I'm going to give my life so that they will be beautiful, so that they will follow me, so that I will accept them, so that they will become my brother and my sister, so that they will become a child of God. So are we trying to please others and hope that they will accept us and wrapping all of our identity in that? And or are we looking at other people and judging them, saying, well, you got to be like me. You've got to walk like me. You've got to talk like me. You've got to make as much money as I make. You've got to come from the same neighborhood. Are we judging other people and saying, you've got to be like us before I will accept us? And neither one of those are right. We need to humble ourselves and say, you know what, just like Jesus accepted me before I cleaned myself up, then we need to look for ways to love others and to serve others, because God might use that to change their heart if they're not a believer. But we have to remember that the reason that we're here, the reason that we have the grace of God is just because he was gracious and merciful. And so we have to remember that who we are is wrapped up in what God says about us, not what others say about us, but also how can we serve them and show others the love of God and not demand that they become like us, not judge based on that external. So which one are you? Which one do you tend more to do? Do you judge yourself and maybe think that you don't measure up to others, or do you judge others and say, well, they don't measure up to me or to my standard? And I think if we're honest, there's probably groups that you do both. But I hope today that we'll be grounded in who God says we are in Christ, because that's the answer to both sides. It's the answer to both sides. James says that the gospel will humble those who think they're something, but it also lifts up those who think they're nothing. Because the gospel says that you were so wretched and lost in your sin that Jesus had to die for you. You couldn't save yourself. But the Bible says that God loved you so much that even in your sin, Christ died for you. You were a wretch, as Amazing Grace says, that now God has saved and he's redeemed and he calls you his child. And so either side that we're on, the answer is the gospel. And so may we get a good, clear picture today and a good reminder of just how much God loved us and just how much we needed God's grace that he has shown us. And that's the answer to both sides of this argument. So today, maybe pray and thank God for his grace, and also pray for humility so that we can show others the kind of love and grace that he's shown us. And that's how we address this idea of approval or needing approval or looking for approval or demanding for approval. And so I hope that that will help you in your prayer response today and know how to pray. So God bless you. Hope y'all have a great day, and we will see y'all again on Thursday.